our life. It's been them that has been a blessing to us. And when I pastored, Brother John used to come up and do meetings for me. And I said to myself, I said, Brother John's got a pastor's heart. And he's the real deal. And I always wanted to be like that. And we were up in New York City, and I'm time conscious. I'm trying to get Donna to go, because we got to be on the other. You don't go in New York City nowhere and like that. I mean, it takes all day just to get across the block. And so I told her, I said, we need to go. I said, we need to go. And she said, well, let me get a picture of this. And so I'd walk off and I'd leave her and she'd not be stopped. And then so finally my countenance just, you could just tell that I wasn't having the best of time because, you know, I was ready to go. And about that time somebody come up to me and asked me, said, would you mind taking our picture? And so I just looked, I said, and so Donna asked me, she said, how in the world did she ask the most unfriendliest person in New York City? So Donna helps me, amen. So I try to work on it. I do good with it most of the time, but a lot of times it just gets the best of me. And I don't look at me like that. Sometimes you ain't the most friendliest person in the world either. But it is a blessing to be here. I do hope and trust that we can say something tonight that'll be a help to you. I really, of course, I'm familiar with this subject, but I'm not familiar with this message. I'd like to preach something familiar with myself, but I want to share a devotion with you the Lord gave me some time ago. So you pray for me, and I'd appreciate it tonight so very, very much. Book of Luke tonight, chapter number 2. The book of Luke, chapter number 2. Usually, the only time we look at this passage is at Christmas time. But I discovered that it's more than just a Christmas passage. Because of what it promises. What was promised 2,000 years ago that night outside of Bethlehem. It's the same thing that we need today in 2017. Verse number 1, the Bible reads that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. The Bible said that all went to be taxed, everyone into his own place, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And the Bible said, and so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there's no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and the Bible says that they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And the Bible said, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Came to pass that as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I remember back when I was in elementary school in Tacoma, Georgia, and you know, it just seemed like it was just yesterday, but it's many years ago. And the things, I know I don't have to tell you this, you are well aware of it, but things were a little different then than they are now. And I had a fifth grade teacher, Brother Terry, by the name of Celeste Terrell. And I remember one Christmas season, she gave us a challenge. And this was the challenge she made. She said, for those that would memorize the Christmas story, said that I'll take everyone to my house. She was wealthy and had a servants, and she was a genuine Christian. And she said, I'll take you to the house and I'll treat you to hot chocolate and brownies. And so I remember this was the passage that we memorized. And, you know, I thought about this. I thought about how that no doubt her house is gone now. And, the school buildings are no longer in use, but I still recall this passage that I committed in my memory back many, many years ago. And that night when Christ was born into this world, there were several things that were promised by these angelic messengers to better humanity. And I believe the reason why that we're in the mess that we're in tonight is that we've gotten away from what was promised. And you say, well, Brother David, just what was promised? Well, number one, we find in verse number 10, we find that good tidings were given unto us that night and outside of Bethlehem. The Bible said this, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, I don't have to tell you this tonight, but there's not a lot of good tidings that's being heard in these hours that we are living in. Mostly it's bad. And mostly it's depressive. And usually what you and I are hearing on the world front, is usually on the dark side, and it's usually, without light. But 2,000 years ago, while shepherds were on the Judean hills, keeping watch over the flocks by night, the heavens opened up. The angels appeared unto them and said, Hey, I've got some good tidings for you. You know, I thought that I understood what the word good meant. But Webster in the 1828 dictionary said this, that the word good
denotes proper. He said this, that the word good means fit. It means convenient, seasonable. It means well, adapted to the end. Convenient, useful, sound, perfect, uncorrupted, undamaged. And oh, wouldn't you agree with me tonight that if there's ever been a time that we need some proper news, if there's ever been a time that we need some convenient news, now I'm talking about hearing about something that you can use right now. It's in these days and in these hours that we're living in. And so, number one, the first thing that I find a word about how that we were promised good tidings. Now, the second thing that I find in verse number 11, not only were we promised good tidings, but then they were promised a Savior. It's not a religious leader that they were in need of. And it wasn't the political spectrum that they were in need of changing. What they were in need of, those in this time of their life, and what you and I need tonight, we need some good news this evening about a Savior. About a Savior. Verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David, here it is, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm glad I got a Savior. And I hate to tell you this tonight, but it's not Donald Trump. And I'm grateful for our president. Amen. And I'm grateful tonight, but I'm telling you, he's not the Savior. And we've got a Savior. And we've got a Deliverer tonight, thank God. And he's personal tonight. He's a personal Savior. But what I want to talk to you tonight about is in verse number 14, another thing that was promised that night that is of great importance to us, and it ought to be of great value to us. The Bible said that glory to God in the highest, and here it is, on earth peace, goodwill towards all men. And God help me for a few minutes tonight. I'd like to talk to you this evening about let there be peace on earth. You know, my burden tonight is this. As I look out, there's so much that's being displayed as peace, but it's not peace tonight. And somewhere tonight at this time, there's a home filled with fussing and fighting. Somewhere tonight, somebody's reaching for a gun. And they're going to end their life because it seems like they just can't get the peace tonight that they long to have. Somebody told them that peace is found in this and peace is found in that. And they're searching tonight, but they can't find it. They can't find it. I remember many years ago, I was down in Houston, Texas with Dan Meadows, and we were out street preaching and handing out tracts, and a black gentleman come up to me, and he wanted to know, was I a preacher? Well, just a few minutes prior to that, I got the cussing out of my lifetime by handing out a tract. And so I wasn't going to offer any kind of information after that. Amen. And I said, I don't know why. And he said this. He said, I need the Holy Ghost. And he said, I've got these voices. And the man was demon possessed. And this voice was trying to get him to leap out a high story building. And he would cause him to float or fly and so forth. And somebody at a meeting somewhere had told him that the solution to that is that you need the Holy Ghost. And he was looking for the Holy Ghost. And what I'm trying my best to tell you tonight is this. We're living in a world that's filled with trouble, and people are having a hard time coping, and they're trying to find peace, and they're reaching into this source, and they're reaching for that source, and they're falling far short of it tonight. Why? Because you'll never find peace in that tonight. You'll never find peace in that. I believe tonight with all of my heart, according to the Word of God, you and I can have peace on earth. We can have peace on earth. You know, we got this idea that we're going to have peace when we get to heaven. And that we will, but you can have peace tonight. Amen. You can have peace tonight. Three things that I want you to think about with me. Number one, tonight, let's look at this principle of peace. Now, peace has been defined as freedom from agitation. It's freedom from disturbances, as from fear or terror or anger. Now, I like this. He said, peace is the quietness of mind. It's calmness or it's the quiet of conscience. But what about a good Bible definition? What about a good Bible definition? The Bible said in Mark 4:39, he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Peace tonight is not found in a program. It's not found in a prescription. It's not found in a bottle, but peace tonight is found in a person. And that person tonight is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. You know, I thought about the little girl that was on board the ship that night, and the ship got to being tossed to and fro, and passengers on board were panicking. And they just knew for sure that the ship was going down. But there was just a calmness about that little old girl. And they said, sweetheart, aren't you afraid that ship's going to go down? And she said, no, I'm not. And they said, well, why are you so calm? And she said, because my father's the one that's guiding the ship. And what I'm telling you tonight is this, real peace. I'll never be found until you have the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no need to go any further tonight. There'll never be peace on earth until people realize that there's only one source of it this evening, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, the principle of peace. Hey, it's Him tonight. It's Him. And then number two this evening, think with me about, let's look at the promise of peace. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. You know what that tells me tonight? That tells me that if you've got the Spirit, you ought to have peace. Amen. What about this? Colossians 3:15. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. What about this verse? Psalm 29:11. The Lord will bless His people with peace. My, what a promise. The Bible says in Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Psalms 85:8, the Bible says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. My, what a promise. Has He ever spoke peace to you tonight? Amen. I thought about this, Psalms 119:165, great peace have they that love Thy law. What about this verse, Psalms 26:3? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Amen? What a promise. What about this verse, John 16:33? These things have I spoken unto you, have that in me you might have peace. What about this verse? John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. Oh, what a promise. What about this verse, 2 Thessalonians 3:16? Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. And then 5 and 4:7, the Bible said, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The promise of peace. We see so many promises of it tonight. But reckon why that we're not having more of it. Could I be speaking to somebody tonight that, my friend, as far as your life concerned, it's everything but peaceful? Have you ever been around somebody that just seems like that, my friend, their whole life is just turned upside down? It's just turmoil, and it's just one issue after another issue, when the truth of it is this, the principle of peace tonight. It's not in some ideology, but the principle of peace tonight is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, there'll never be no peace this evening. That's the reason why that many said this when I got saved that night. It seemed like that the whole world was lifted off of me. Why? Because of the peace that flooded their soul this evening. Brother John, I not only remember the night that I got saved, but I remember those days prior to my salvation. I remember that deep-rooted conviction that flooded my soul, that showed me that there was something missing in my life. And what was missing in my life tonight, church, was the peace. Amen, the peace. You know, the difference that it made in my life when I met the person of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. That's the principle of it tonight. And then you say, well, Brother David, it sounds good, but is it possible? Look at these promises that we have this evening. But then number three, let me see this tonight when I think about peace. Let's look at the preciousness of it this evening. Amen. You know, a person not think much about peace until the time comes in their life that it's gone. Amen. And in those times, you'll look back and think, my, what a precious commodity. You know, I was thinking while Brother John was talking about those days that we met. Don and I talk about this a lot. Lord, how we wish we could go back to some of those days. We just felt better bodily, our body. I mean, we were young and full of strength and now, you know, I didn't have back then. I didn't have two nickels to rub together. And everything that Don and I had in our house, my friend, I had a story that I could tell you about how God had given it to us. We didn't have cards to buy stuff on. Amen. We couldn't afford the most simplest of things. And I thought about this. We lived in a little old three-room house and had about five rooms of furniture in it. Amen. And didn't have no air conditioning, had window fans. You know, we'd come to turn the lights out at night before we'd get ready to go to bed. And we'd have the window fan stuck up in the window. And I forget which way it was. You turn it around opposite and it sucked the hot air out. And you know, I look back and I thought, wow, those were hard times. But no, those were probably, honestly, some of the most peaceful times you and I ever had. And you know what, Ben? You know what made the difference in our life? It's because I reached a place in my life that life didn't have to be a certain way to show me, my friend, what was fulfillment in life. And I got to a place in my life I'm far from that tonight. I am. But I got to a place in my life where I was completely content with where I was at and in my life that I had with Him. That's all I wanted. And I remember one day I was out walking, Brother Terry, and the Lord stopped me. And He said, I brought you to this place in your life to show you you can have everything that the world's got to offer. But if you don't have Me, you don't have nothing. And then He said this, and I've showed you this, that if you've got Me, you got everything that you'll ever need. And what I'm telling you tonight is this, the peace that's found in Him, the promise of it tonight. But now let's look at the preciousness of it this evening. I thought about this. I thought about that peace is precious when the storms of life are raging. Are you listening to me tonight? Peace is most precious when the storms of life are raging. I know I don't have to tell you this tonight, but storms are real. And somebody said this, I don't know if it's true. They said you're either in a storm, or you're coming out of the storm, or you're headed for the storm. That sounds good. But I got to thinking, Brother Scott, my soul, it don't give much room for sunshine, does it? Amen? But the truth of it is, yes, they are sunshine. They are sunshine. But I got to tell you this, and I do wish that it wasn't so. But I got to tell you this tonight, that storms are very much a part of life. You go through one, and you say, boy, I'm glad that one's over. Amen. And I'm telling you, I've never been through one like that before. And then you go through another one and say, man, I'm glad that one's over, because I'm telling you, it was the big one. And on and on. But storms tonight are very, very real. You say, well, Brother David, what makes you think? Well, number one, when I look at the Scriptures, we find in the book of Mark, chapter number 4, the Bible said the same day when it was evening, He saith unto them, let us pass to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there was also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Hey, when I look at the Word of God tonight, and I see over and over and over again that life hadn't really changed. Amen. There were storms then, and there are storms now. And they're real. And I thought about this, Brother John. I never really thought much about it till this afternoon. I was looking at that verse, and the Bible said that there was other little ships with them. And sometimes in life, when it seems like that we're going through storms, we feel like that we're the only one that's going through. But you know what? If you and I could just see all around us, there are those that's going through storms with us, just like you and I. We're not the only one in this thing. They are real. The Scriptures point us to the reality of it. And then when I think about the saints of God, some of the greatest Christians that I know, some of the greatest Christians I know are going through great storms. Amen. There's just bombarded and resistance and that's just attacks and some selling on, some's not doing too good with it. And they're very, very real. Not only are they real, but sometimes storms tonight are sudden. I'm telling you, it can blow up just like that. Amen. I thought about this. Sometimes storms can get severe. And you say, what made it severe? Well, there in the book of Mark, what made it severe in their life was that the boat was getting full. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I know this, that all the water in the world can't sink the ship unless the water in the world gets in the ship. And you can get so much water to that the ship is going down. And the Bible said this. The Bible said this, that it was full. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And then not only that, but I tell you, what made it severe was this. It seemed like the Lord didn't care. You ever feel like He don't care? Now, I know you and I are too spiritual to stand up and admit that. But have you ever been in a place in your life where you felt like that He just wasn't there? He was there, but He wasn't there. Amen. But then I said all that to say this, storms tonight can be stilled. And I said that. He stood. And He said this to the storm. He said, "Peace, be still." And the storm obeyed. What I'm saying is this. Hey, peace is important. It's precious when the storm rages. And then what about this tonight? Peace is precious when you're waiting on the Lord. You know, probably one of the most challenging endeavors one will face in service is waiting. Well, that's the way it is for me. Amen. Patience is not my greatest virtue. Amen. Don't look at me like that. You know, I remember years ago a season in my life when I was seeking God for a word. And I mean, really, sincerity. I have my problems today, but when I look back in, I really felt like I was as sincere as I could possibly be. I was a seeker. I wanted to hear from the Lord. And you know what? My Bible reading was in Psalms 27, and the verse that resonated in my heart was verse number 14. Well, this is what the Bible said. The Bible told David, said, just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. I didn't want to hear that. Amen. His time line and mine's not on. We're not the same time. Amen. And in John 20, you'll find where those disciples, they were in the upper room. They were in a room, and they were behind doors, fearful of the Jews. They were in a closed place. The doors were shut. You ever feel like you just can't get out? Trying to get the door open. Amen. And God has to shut you up. Because if He don't, you're going to get run over. Them kids of Josh, great God Almighty. I'm telling you, man, they come over to the house. And you know, we have to put guards at the doors and the windows. Amen. Because somebody said, well, he's outside or there. And I stay nervous wreck constantly. And you say, well, why would you lock him in to keep him getting out and getting run over? And I was fussing about it one day, and the Lord said, why are you fussing about it? I have to do you like that. He said, look at you. You're nearly 60 years old, and I still got to lock you up. Amen. Amen. In a closed place, doors were shut. It was an emotional place. Their emotions was running havoc in their life. They were fearful of the Jews. A few days prior to that, the Lord had been crucified. And they're wondering, was they next? What did they have planned for them? And if it happened to Jesus, it can happen to us. They were fearful. But right in the midst of the fear, while they were waiting on the Lord, guess who showed up? The Lord showed up. And He spoke peace to their soul. I said all that to say this. I think about the promise of peace, the preciousness of it, the principle of it. But let's think about the passing up of peace. You know, I'm thankful this year for this peace on earth that was promised. Amen? 2,000 years ago. Because number one, I believe I can honestly say I got peace in my heart. I don't know about my mind, but I got peace in my heart. Amen? And not only that, but I thought about this, I've got peace in my home. Somebody asked me, did me and Don ever fuss? I said, hardly ever. We discuss a lot of stuff, but we don't really... Amen? And then finally, I just pull a Barney Five on her. Because I usually find out that when I do put my two cents in, it never helps. It just always makes it a lot worse. I wish I was calm like John. Amen. But I just, amen. And, but we're not at outs. I've got peace tonight. May not have a lot of things, but I got peace tonight in my home. I got peace tonight in my heart. And if you got peace in your heart and in your home, my soul, what more would you want this evening? Amen. What the world would give tonight if they could just lay their head on their pillow and sleep. Amen. What the world would give. So my thought tonight is this. My, what a promise. But the sad tragedy of it is that there's a world tonight that's turning their back on the real source and the real solution tonight of peace. Have you got peace tonight? Have you got peace? While we stand, while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.